Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. We're turning to Matthew 22, and I want to read three verses, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. Then saith he, that's the king, to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. We sang a lovely old gospel hymn this morning, Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. The verses we're going to look at today are all about the Lord passing by some people. This parable now takes on a prophetic theme, and I want us to learn that. We saw in previous studies the Savior's warning to the leaders to whom he was speaking, for he was speaking to the leaders of the nation. I've pointed this out to you on a number of occasions. You only have to go back in the last verse or so of chapter 21, and there you find that the Savior is speaking and telling this particular parable to the chief priests. They were the leaders of the nation. They were the leaders of the nation. They guided Israel. And we know that these were the men who, when the Savior was on trial, stirred up the people against him. And the people listened to them, and they responded to their urgings and their exhortations. And they went down the road that the chief priests were pointing out, down the road to destruction and doom. And the Savior is warning, you see, in the second half, we'll call it, of this parable, what the consequences would be for the rejection of the gospel. He pictures it, a king giving a feast and inviting people to it, who turn him down, counted as a light thing, a laughing matter. And in consequence, the king then turns to others. And I want you to learn something about that this morning as the Lord helps us. I told you that where we read of the king being angry in verse 7 and sending forth his armies against those rejectors of his invitation, those abusers, indeed murderers of his servants. You have pictured what happened to Jerusalem and to Israel in the year AD 70. The Roman army surrounded the city, besieged the city. And I might just say this, just throw it in. During that siege, even as Christ had warned his disciples, there was an opening presented to the Christians in Jerusalem to escape. The rest of the people said, we'll hold out, we'll beat these Romans. But there were Christians in the city who remembered what the Savior said, and when there was a temporary lifting of the siege, they escaped. They escaped. Doubtless as they left, the rest of the Jews, the rest of the people in the city, they would have booed at them and shouted, cowards! Running away scared, but we're going to stay and fight, and we're going to defeat these Romans. That was man's proud heart speaking. But those who ran away did so at the command of the Lord Jesus, because he had warned them what was going to happen. They would not beat the Romans, but the Romans would tear the city down stone by stone. And that they did, and they scattered the nation everywhere, everywhere, across the Roman world. And the nation of Israel ceased to be. It ceased to be. The land was occupied by just about anybody and everybody, and was turned to waste and ruin, and continued like that for a very long period of time until, as I've mentioned, and it's no harm to mention it again, 1948, providentially, after years, over 100 years, of lobbying and toiling and labouring by Jews coming in again to the land and beginning to organize it and establish and build themselves until in 1948 they became a nation again with their parliament, etc. But they were scattered, just like is stated here in the parable, because they rejected the invitation. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, listen to the words of the hymn. Pass me not, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Your rejection, your refusal of the gospel will cause Christ to pass you by. Just as we have it in the parable. The people who were bidden to the feast rejected it, and the Lord passed them by. The Lord passed them by. But in the verses 8 to 10, we read that though those who were bidden didn't respond, there were those who did, and the feast had its guests. Every seat was filled. The gospel invitation, you see, was to be given to those who before were not on the guest list. Can I put it like that? Would you look back towards the beginning of the parable, the verse 3? Let me just remind you how it all begins. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. I want you to notice, you see, the servants went out to a people whose names were on the guest list. Not just to anybody and everybody, but to those who were bidden. There was a guest list prepared. And the servants of the king went out and said to them, all's now ready. You know about this. Come to the feast. And they rejected. What is it that's pictured here? Why, it's Israel receiving the gospel invitation. They were the bidden ones. In the New Testament, the Jewish people are often referred to as the children of the kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 15 and the verse 24 said this, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And on another occasion, when he sent his disciples out, he says, basically, don't go outside of Israel when you're preaching. Just like the servants in the parable. They went out to those who were bidden. There was a list of people that they were to go to, favored by the king, and invited to the feast. And they went to them, and only them. And so it was. When the Saviour came into this world, as he says himself there in Matthew 15:24, I'm not sent unto any, but only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then, as the parable goes on, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, by and large, rejected the gospel. They crucified the Saviour. They said, you're not the Messiah. You're a fraud. You're a deceiver. And they put him to death. The death of a murderer. The death of a thief. The death of a criminal. Thus they recorded in history what they thought of him. And just like in the parable, the king sent his army, and Israel was most severely judged. And again, like it says in the parable, the servants who had gone out to those who were bidden and were rejected were now told, go out into the highways and the byways, anywhere and everywhere, and just gather in people. And when the Savior was crucified, the gospel that at the first had been directed toward the Jewish people was now presented to the world. The Lord Jesus said unto his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what these words here in verse 9 convey. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying to his disciples, go into all the world. Israel has rejected. Not too long ago, we heard a message in the pulpit in which reference was made to what you find in Acts chapter 11, you older ones. You look it up, because I'd like you just to get a picture in your mind of what it is that you find there in Acts chapter 11. It's all about Peter having been directed by the Lord to take the gospel to those who were not Jews. Cornelius was the name of the individual and his friends. And that annoyed many Jews who were Christians, who believed in Christ. But they still thought that they were the favored people. They hadn't understood that the rejection of Christ had brought an end to a special privilege for Israel. And now the door was open for the Gentiles. And so in chapter 11, of Acts in the verse 18, after Peter has recited how the Lord led him there, made it very clear that he had to go and preach the gospel. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. The door's open now for others to come in and take a place at the feast. Because those who were bidden, those who were privileged, who were given the first chance, as it were, they turned down the invitation. So the king said, well, go out into the highways and the byways. You see just exactly the spirit that there was among many Jews. If you turn over to two chapters in Acts, to chapter 13. Chapter 13 and the verse 44. And the apostles are out preaching. In this instance, it's Paul and Barnabas. And the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Isn't that just like those men who, when they first received the invitation, they mocked and they laughed and made light of it, and then abused those who were giving out the invitation? Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. There you have what the Savior is teaching us in the parable. Those who received the invitation to the wedding mocked and laughed at it and put it away from them. And the king said, all right, go out and gather in anybody and everybody, the high and the low, the good and the bad, and bid them to come to the feast. Oh, boys and girls, there is a lesson for us. There have been many communities, many nations, many countries, many congregations who have been highly privileged by God, but became careless, sinful and wicked, and despised the gospel. And they encountered the same judgment. The Lord visited them with wrath because of the way they dealt with the invitation to the gospel. You today, let me tell you today, you mightn't feel this, but let me assure you it's so. You are a privileged group. You're privileged. There's not another group of boys and girls in the county are hearing what you're hearing today. God has so ordered things that he is speaking to you through his word in a fashion that others are not hearing. He's privileged you. He's inviting you to a feast. Now, you cannot snub God without a penalty. God will not have that. God will not take that. He will patiently bear with it for a long time, but he will not put up with it forever. Please, don't reject the invitation. Don't reject the invitation. Don't do as the Jews did, but accept Christ. Notice how the Gentiles, for that's who's being referred to here in the parable, the latter part of it, notice how they're described. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests, both bad and good. The bad, well, we sort of know who they were. They were the ruffians. They were the rascals. They were people that you would not expect to be invited to the king's feast. Heaven is filled with rascals, saved by God's grace. They're no longer rascals, but once they were. Think of the rascals that are in heaven. Maybe that's an exercise for you sometime. Just to write down the names of those in the Bible who, before God saved them, were real rascals. You could even think of the congregation and start thinking of some of those who are converted now, but who were real rascals. And do you know the first name you'd have to put on the list? Mine. For I was a rascal. I was one of the bad. And the invitation came to me. Now the good. Well, when we read the Gospels, we read of men and women who got saved, but who, up until that moment, they were sinners, yes. They were on their way to hell, yes. But they appeared to be good. They were decent people. The Ethiopian eunuch, he wasn't a drunkard, he wasn't a thief, he wasn't a cursing, blaspheming rascal. He wasn't found indulging in every low and vile sin. No, he was a decent man. but he was on his way to hell. Or Nicodemus. Why, Nicodemus was standing up there at the very top of the ladder of decency among the Jewish people, but he was on his way to hell. And that's who are invited. Those who have the appearance of good but are sinners on their way to hell, and those who have no appearance of good and are sinners on their way to hell. I tell you, that's where the gospel goes today. I'll quickly point out what it says in verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The wedding was furnished. Do you know what that word furnished means? When we talk about a room that's been furnished, we're talking about a room that has a carpet on the floor, has curtains on the windows, has nice wallpaper on the walls, has various items of furniture. It's just filled and completed. It's furnished. And that's what the word means here. The feast was full. There wasn't a vacant seat, not one. We see some vacant seats here, but in God's feast, there's not one vacant seat. Not one. The seats that God had prepared for folk to sit down and feast, there had been those who had refused to take their seat, but God filled them with others. And there'd be no vacancies in heaven, no empty seats in heaven. But boys and girls, let me ask you, will you have a seat in heaven? I want you to think on this. Think of the image of this parable, the feast. Will you have a seat in heaven? The devil and man's wicked corruption does everything possible to blind sinners to the way of salvation, to stop them getting a seat in heaven. Will you miss out? It will be filled, but will you be one of those there? Please think on that today. And may the Lord humble your heart, bring home to you the privilege of the gospel that's presented to you, what God in mercy is saying to you. And may you accept the invitation. Let's bow in prayer, please. Dear Lord, we do ask that you will speak to the boys and the girls, that nothing we have said, Lord, will have clouded the issue, but that, Lord, it will come home clearly to their hearts that God, in great mercy to them, is reaching out his hand and inviting them to come and take a seat at his feast. May the boys and the girls do so. God save them. God save them, we pray. Remember, our school, the subject of much attack, Lord, and we're filled with unbelief, but have mercy. And for thy name's sake, Lord, bless the school and meet its every need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.